Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
So good to have you on. Let's all welcome all of our locations. Come on, everybody. Get happy about talking to the whole city. Well, we're getting there. Aiming for like 100 locations all around the city of Miami. We'll have a little difficulty welcoming everybody at that time. But let me tell you, these are such exciting days when we can use technology to reach out way beyond our walls. You know, while we were looking at that miracle that happened last week that Kate Forsyth reported from the healing service, I believe God is going to touch lives here in this service all around the city with healing power. And the power of God is there right at every location, at Wurrunga, at Silverwater, at Bankstown. Listen to me right now. I got a feeling that any people who are struggling with asthma are going to find healing coming into your life right now, this morning. In the name of Jesus, I command healing to come into anybody in this room and all across the city. The healing power of God comes into your life in Jesus' name. Anybody who's facing migraine headaches, I want you to reach out to God right now. And in the name of Jesus, I command those migraine headaches to lift and be gone in the name of Jesus. All the pressure, all the conditions that are surrounding, causing that, will lift out of that person's life. And the last one I want to pray for is people with spinal conditions. I've just been at Roselle, and we prayed for a person there who had spinal conditions in three different ways. And I believe that God wants to bring healing to you there at Roselle and to people here at Oxford Falls and right across the city. Let's believe together right now, in the name of Jesus, I command healing to come into those spines, into those bones, into those areas of life. And in Jesus' name right now, let the peace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit fill people's spines. You might not even be usually coming to church. You might think, well, I don't know about me because I don't normally come to church, but that's exactly for you. If you've got asthma or migraines or spinal conditions, let me tell you, even if you don't come to church, that's wonderful. It's wonderful that you're here. And don't think that doesn't apply to me because I don't normally come. It exactly applies to you. God loves you. God loves you, and He wants to touch you and help you and let you know you're welcome in His house and let you know that He's so glad to have you in this place this morning. You know, we are talking about the God priority and His presence is in our lives. You know, we got Presence Conference coming up in just 14 days, people. Well, a little over 14 days. Woo! That's exciting, right? For you, it is. I got to get some messages together. Amen. It's going to be, but look, at every location, look, if we haven't registered yet, now. And last year, nearly 500 people, and the year before, said yes to Jesus, came to Christ. Friends brought friends. And I heard just this morning about some friends bringing some friends who don't know the Lord. This is a perfect opportunity because the nights are free and you can trundle off into the city. And if you're thinking, well, I can't afford hotels, you can come back home, drive in each morning, get with your friends and right across the city. Let's just fill that building with Sydney people. There's going to be a lot of outsiders coming, a lot of international people turning up, but we can fill that building at least every night with our friends, our neighbors, people from everywhere, all over the city of Sydney, your real estate salesman, your butcher, your baker, your candlestick maker, whoever there is, we can bring them along. Because we don't do this just for us. We do it for the city of Sydney. We're reaching out way beyond here. And you know, one of the great things that we can do this week is all get together on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for prayer and reach out to God. I'd say, let's do that this week, please, for me. Just be in the house 1 hour, 7 o'clock in Silverwater, any other of our locations, wherever we got a prayer meeting, let's get in there and make God our first priority. I'm starting with a scripture in Proverbs 16 and verse 3. I wrote a whole book about what I'm talking here this morning called If, The Art of Prayer. And I'd love you to download it or purchase it from our store here because it'll help you in what I'm going to talk about here this morning. What I'm talking about is your connection with Jesus, with the Father. And let me tell you this, the New Testament doesn't work without prayer. It just doesn't work. It's built to operate in an atmosphere of God, in an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. We call it the presence of God. But I know that by the end of this meeting, here today, you're going to have a different atmosphere in your head and in your heart. If you've been in darkness, if you've been in trouble, if you've been under pressure, I'm believing that there'll be an atmosphere change. I'm issuing a weather report. Sunny skies are coming. There's a high going to cover your entire geography. There's a climate change coming, people. And just like we're having an extended summer, I believe that's prophetic in Jesus' name. That is prophetic for your life, for my life, and for the whole of Australia. We need revival here. It isn't going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because we step out and we make God our number one priority. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, put God first in all you do and He will crown your efforts with success. That's got to be good, right? Put God first in all. Everybody say all. Put God first in all you do out there at Bankstown. Put God first in all that you do down there in Manly. Put God first in all that you do and God will crown your efforts here, friends, with success. There's a difference between just trying to be successful and actually enjoying success as a believer. And he says, put God first in all you do and God's going to crown your efforts with success. So what is the first thing? 1 Timothy 2 verse 2, Paul says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. The first thing I want you to do is pray. Often it's the last thing people do. When you don't pray first, you definitely are going to be praying last. Because we get ourselves into such a mess when we didn't put God right at the beginning of a thing. At the beginning of your day, what's first? TV and coffee? Instagram and a cup of tea? Whatever. Make God the first person you talk to in the morning. And let God be the first person who talks to you at the start of a day. Beat the sun up. I'm not going to let that sun beat me up. I go down the beach and pray and there are surfers who got up before me. There are people who run who got up before me. I'm thinking, man, they must think that what they do is important. I think what I do is important. I got to get in first. I need to make it a habit. I need to make prayer not just something I do on a day somewhere, but I need to do it all the time, every day. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 4 to 5 says, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That's kind of wonderful and terrifying at the same time. It just says, as long as he did that, God made him to prosper. That means when he stopped, whoops, it stopped. It isn't something that you can rely on yesterday's prayer. Today's prayer is going to make you equal for today. Today's prayer is going to look after today. Yesterday's prayer looked after then. Tomorrow's prayer is going to look after tomorrow. Today, the prayers we pray today give us strength, give us moisture in our root system, give us strength in our mind, wisdom in our spirit, strength and fire on the inside of ourselves, understanding, wisdom, and the mind of Christ for all the situations we're going to face. If we feel like our day is overwhelming us, we need to overwhelm the day. Get on top of the day and start to pray. Say it in the morning. Say, today, Lord, I'm committed. I'm going to actually make you my first priority. I say God's first in my life, but that's actually how we can do it. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Wow, our land, it needs healing, people. All the lands across the nations of the world need a lot of healing. And if the people of God, you and I, if we go to presence for no other reason than just to pray and seek the face of God, whether we don't even like any of the speakers, we don't like the music, we don't like anything, just to get together and pray. I'm sure that's not the case though. But the fact is, even if all my people got together and saw my face, I'll hear and I will heal. Psalm 34:10, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come on, people, that's gotta be good, right? I mean, that just deserves like at least 5 seconds of praise right now. Down there in Bankstown, out there at Silverwater, Warunga. Come on, Avalon, say thank you, Lord. Those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. So the last two scriptures, they're saying, if they will seek my face, and this one says, if they will seek the Lord. You know, when I was just a young Christian, I was like maybe 6 months as a believer. I went to a particular meeting, which was a closed meeting with this gentleman called Ed Miller, who was involved in the Argentina revival in the 1950s, late 40s, early 50s. And he was telling the story of how he was sent there as a missionary, but God told him not to do the normal missionary thing, but just to pray. And he said, what, just to pray? He said, you prayed throughout the day. And he would pray sometimes 8 hours, occasionally even up to 12, 16 hours. He said, I said, oh God, that's just ridiculous. How could I ever do that? And but then I thought, maybe I did feel inspired. So I said, maybe I could manage three hours. So I thought, I'll go home and I'll get in there and I'll pray for 3 hours. So I did. I went home and I prayed and I prayed. I screamed, I cried, I fell on the floor, I cried out, I did wave, I did anything. I prayed it, all the prayers I could think of. Wow, that's gotta be the first hour. It's gotta be the first hour. I looked at my watch, 5 minutes. Oh no, I'm stuck in here for 3 hours. I made myself stay for 3 hours, but it was like excruciating. I would rather have gone to the dentist and had root canal therapy. It was just horrifying. I didn't enjoy it one bit. Okay, so a few weeks later, I felt these sort of scriptures coming to me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Seek the Lord until he comes. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And these ones like, those who seek the Lord. I go like, how do you seek for somebody who's invisible? And so I hitchhiked down to Mount Cook. I was living in Christchurch. Chris and I had our home in Christchurch. I was hitching down to Mount Cook and I thought I'll take 3 days down there and I'll just do this thing called seeking the Lord. And so I found a hut and paid $1.50 for the hut. There's nothing in the hut except a sink and a jug, and that was the camper's hut. And so I made a cup of coffee. I went outside and I put the coffee down. I thought, man, this is an opportunity here because nobody's around. So I went a little crazy, guys. I went, God! I just yelled. I was crying out. I said, God, where are you? And I was looking behind bushes. I was lifting up rocks. I didn't know how you look for an invisible person. How do you seek God? But because I was like in this, I guess, kind of innocent way of doing that, you know what? Suddenly I could feel him. Suddenly I could feel him, and that stopped me. I was trembling and liking it at the same time. I was thinking like, whoa, what do you do now? This is God right there. So I hadn't been used to any kind of Christian upbringing. I didn't know anything about God, but here he was. And my thing was to say, hello, I like you.
you're good. And then I just stood, not knowing what else to do except soak, just be in His presence. And then it passed. That time passed, and I thought, wow, that was life-changing. I felt a peace, a glow I could never felt before in my whole life. I'm there like, this is why Jesus died, so I could have this, what Adam had, but lost. And I thought, well, that felt like about 5 minutes. I look at my watch, 1 hour. So then I realized something that the entire New Testament is talking about. The entire reason that Jesus came to earth was so that I could have not religion, but a relationship. A relationship not with any God, but the God and the living God. And that He could take me to places, that He could take me into eternal circumstances that are unobtainable any other way, that you cannot expect in any way to reach them. But let me tell you this, friends, that is reserved for every single one of us. The Bible says a new and a living way has been opened up for us right into the presence of God. Only one person could do that in Israel once a year in the Old Testament. The high priest could go in beyond curtain after curtain, and then he would be in the presence of God once a year. And he was nervous. He was nervous that God would kill him. So he was glad to leave finally. But let me tell you this, Moses would go into that tabernacle. Joshua was not permitted to go as deep as he would, as Moses would. But Joshua lingered. He hung around that tabernacle. He hung around that tent. Even after Moses would go, Joshua said, yeah, that's good, you go. I like this. I'm at presence conference, baby. Amen. I'm lingering. I want to soak. I want to be baptized in this. And do you know, out of the two that God chose, out of Joshua and Caleb, they were both great men of faith. But I believe the defining difference about Joshua was that he loved the presence of God. He got addicted to an atmosphere. He said, this is where my fulfillment is. This is what I have a hunger for. And I believe churches and Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a presence from another world, are recognizable in this generation because they glow with a light that you can't get on planet Earth. They glow with heaven that is not here on this earth unless we bring it. And the church is meant to be the gate of heaven. The church, every one of us, are meant to be that exact place where God comes to earth and we find our way into heaven. We are a heavenly people. We are heavenly citizens, the Bible says. And when I start to look at the power of prayer and His presence, I begin to realize that we have been called into this amazing new day. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31 in the Message says, don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see and imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch His breath, and He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. We live in a world that's frustrated and burned out and de-energized and discouraged and depressed. The answer, my friend, the answer is not blowing in the wind. It's waiting on the Lord. Is waiting before His presence, and you will exchange strength and find your energy there. James says, is any among you suffering? Let him go to his pastor and ask him to counsel him. If you read the Bible, you know it doesn't say that.
If any among you are suffering, let him go to his lawyer and get a real court case going to solve that problem. Doesn't say that either. If any among you are suffering with a sickness, with a disease, with a problem, with a whatever that we are facing, the Bible says, let him pray. You will find your solution. You won't just find fresh strength, you'll find answers. It's where God can speak to you. It's where strength can enter your heart and your mind. It's where wisdom comes into our thinking. Prayer is the lifeline of the Christian. It is the breathing apparatus of the Christian spirit. We're told to pray without ceasing. Like breathing is to our body, prayer is to our spirit. Unlike breathing, it's not involuntary. It's a choice you make every day. 1 Timothy 2:2, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how, for everyone you know. He wants not only us, but everyone saved, you know? But everyone to get to know the truth we have learned. Since prayer is at the bottom of all this, what I want mostly for men is to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. Spurgeon says, cast your whole soul into the exercise. If ever your whole manhood was engaged in anything, man, let it be in drawing near to God. John Knox was famous for his power in prayer. Queen Mary said she feared his prayers more than all of Europe's armies. Dr. David Cho says, prayer is the key to revival. Prayer is the key to your success. Prayer is the key to personal victory. I ask you to pray. I ask you to pray. I ask you a third time to pray. Prayer is the foundation of the kingdom of God. Only through prayer can we carry out God's command in our generation. Ian Bounds says, God shapes the world by prayer. Prayers are deathless. Without prayer, a church is like a body without a spirit. It is dead, inanimate. A church with prayer in it has God in it. God's house is the house of prayer. The divine intention is that people should leave their homes and go to meet him in his own house. The building is set apart for prayer, especially as God has made a special promise to meet his people there. It is their duty to go there and for that specific end. Catherine Kuhlman said the greatest power that God has given to any individual is the power of prayer. William Carey, the great missionary to India, said God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Martin Luther of Germany, the 15th century reformer, said, I have so much work to do that I cannot get along without giving 3 hours daily of my best time to prayer. Leonard Ravenhill writes, prayer is as mighty as God is because he has committed himself to answer it. People, we gotta pray. We gotta enter into the presence of the living God. All around our city, if we come up in a concert of prayer and discover the presence, not just answers to prayer, not just seeking solutions, not just seeking something from God, could I urge you to make God more important than the answer to your prayer? Could I say to you that if you would just have a heart to know him, you'll find all your prayers coming a lot easier. You'll find the power of the Holy Spirit getting a hold of your spirit itself and causing prayers to come out of you that will change the world and change your own life. I want to pray for you as I finish that the spirit of prayer and supplication, the power of prayer would fill our hearts and we'd rediscover a revival of prayer in our lives. In Jesus' name, Father, at every location, I'm asking that you cause us to discover and rediscover prayer. That we'd come aside because you're more important. You're the God priority. You're the first in our day. You're the first in our important things to do. You're the first in our point of reference. Lord Jesus, we establish you as the first in our lives. And here today, Lord, put prayer in our heart, that we might reach out and enjoy that relationship and communion far higher than anything we could ever experience anywhere else with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? He's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.